wife. A beautiful wife is not constantly taking advantage of somebody else. A beautiful life is not outwitting your adversary, breaking a home, neglecting children, destroying the environment, and declaring war upon people whom you don't even know. All these things are part of a mistake. And as long as we keep this mistake going, we will suffer from it. But it is perfectly possible for the individual himself, even in this stage of his evolution, to wish for a moment peace, to hope that sometime there will be something kind, something gentle, something loving, something wise, that this battle will not go on until one by one all the natural resources of the planet are exhausted. The individual must make these decisions himself. The laws of nations will never do it. But there is above the law of nations the law of God. And this law of God has been variously interpreted and misinterpreted by the scriptures of the world. But right or wrong, there is a law of God. There is a law of realities. And there is a discipline that must be kept to fulfill the desires and hopes of intelligent and consecrated people. So there is reason to believe and to hope that the worst that can happen, whether we are good or bad, is that if we are bad, we miss the chance of immortality. And if we are good, we escape from the chains of mortality. And if that is true, then the universe becomes a moral entity. It becomes a being or creature that is good. And in laws and nature, in conflicts and dissensions, in all the problems and responsibilities of statesmanship, truth is beautiful. Truth is the thing that must live. Truth must be kind, it must be wise, it must be loving, and it must be filled with a determined nation to grow, to transform all antagonisms into relationships that are commendable and can be carried on. I have known a number of people who have been destroyed by their own antagonisms. They've had bad lives, not because anybody declared them to have a bad life, but because the decisions they made in every point of view were self-centered, critical of others, condemnatory of life, and without understanding or without justifying the divine plan. These people, therefore, do not have a good life, but they still have to go and find it out. And the nature of the infinite in its fulfillment has given us the inevitable hope of ultimate realization. That every time we make a good decision, growth develops within ourselves. We are a little wiser, a little kinder, and a little more beautiful in our relationships. And little by little, the beauty of our inner lives becomes a garment, a magnificent robe, a robe of virtues. Little by little, we do not need the dangles and ornaments of materiality, because we are beautifully vested in our own integrity. We are the kindly, loving people who are always needed, to whom all can turn in trouble, but whom many will not be able to achieve in their own lives. So we can do a lot of things, and in doing them, we help to make beauty what it really is. Beauty is also in the most common thing. Laozi, the Chinese philosopher, was a child of a gardener on the estate of a great mandarin. He had no advantages and no education, but he used to sit on the side of a hill and look out across the valley to the mountains beyond. And day by day and month by month and year by year, he sat and looked at the mountains. He looked at the sky and he looked at the earth, and he saw an infinite beauty. He saw that the mountains, while if you analyze them might seem to be pretty terrible, really is part of a wonderful scene, a scene of life. And little by little it grows upon him that a human being is very much like the view of a mountain. He views his own inner life, and he sees distances and peaks and valleys. But he also sees a beautiful kind of peace that comes over all these valleys, the mists and fogs that gather around the peaks of mountains. He sees all these things in his views, and then he sees beyond this, as Slutsky did, into the mysteries of the desert of Gobi, the mysterious sand of death, the black sand that seems as though it goes on forever. And his soul went out into the black sand of Gobi. And as he went out there, something happened. In his mind's eye, he saw a beautiful city rising out of the sands of Gobi. He saw that in that city were all the beauties of life. And in the midst of the desert of waiting, there is a great city of fulfillment. One is the city of God, as St. Augustine, and the other is the city of Babylon. Out of the darkness of the shadows of things, Lao Tzu saw the homes of the immortals, the beautiful gardens, the beautiful mountains, the things that to him seemed first dim and dark and distant, suddenly were filled with light, and he saw that every grain of sand was part of an immortal beauty. So, little by little, he labored. He tried very hard to teach what he found, but no one would listen. Not then, although later millions had listened. But in full time he gave up, and he sat on the back of an old blue water buffalo, one of a bluish black color, and he rode out on this animal through the great gates of China into the deserts of Shamo, into the great Gobi, and finally found and was one forever with the great city of the immortals. These are fables and so forth, but they are fables about life. The city of the immortals does exist. It has always existed, because whether we know it or not, man isn't the top of creation. There are things that are done better than he is, and it's a longer time to do it. Ages and ages have come. In the book of Genesis, the Lord says to Adam, be fruitful and replenish the earth. And in the Indian philosophy it says that the great mother, the planet, has shaken countless civilizations from her back. Everywhere there are things that grow and things that lose track of growth. There are things that go bad and slowly fade away. There are things that go right and go on. We are at this time in one of those critical periods in the history of our culture, but it is very important for us to do something right, to make moves and changes that will be productive. And one of the ways to do it, it seems to me, is to simply use a code of beauty. Is it beautiful? Are my words beautiful? Are my thoughts beautiful? If I'm giving advice, is my advice the advice of heaven? If I look out to see what kind of a world we should build, can I look out in front of the stars and see the great shadows of universes far vaster than ours? We live in the midst of an eternal life, and that eternal life is bathed forever in eternal beauty. Everything is as it is right. Everything that is proper and is maintained is beautiful. The moment we disagree, the moment we turn away, the moment let war and politics come in, the moment our religions become sectarian, the moment our arts become materialistic, our music corrupt, all of these things are losses of beauty. And with the death of beauty dies all things. Because beauty is another name for right, for the thing as it should be and it must be. It is that which tells us that anything that is not for the common good contributes to the common suffering. That there is no way in which a superficial rejection of the responsibility of a good life can be accepted as appropriate. There is no way in which weakness can be glorified except by being outgrown. Weakness generally comes to pain. Pain is a great test. If weakness is able to survive the test and straighten its own way, then beauty comes back. And everywhere we see people on the outside trying to be beautiful. We see people trying to be beautiful by their benevolences, trying to be beautiful by the ostentation of their living, trying to be beautiful by their achievements in arts and letters, trying to be beautiful in drama, music, all these things, or become beautiful in wisdom through scholarship, or beautiful in religion through sanctification. There are people everywhere trying to be better, trying to be beautiful. And it is this that must come. Now, beautiful in this case is exactly what it says. There can be and must be an end of all dissension, whether it is private or public. If a thing needs corruption, it is sick. It needs a physician, not a judge. If the individual rejects all help, then all that can be done is to make things as quiet as possible and let the eternal beauty finally come in. Sometimes this final beauty may be more than the individual can stand. For the moment, he may be beyond his depth. But the beauty of eternity is also the great healer. The most perfect of all medicines is beauty. And the most perfect of all religions is the recognition of divine beauty. And the greatest of all sociology is recognition of the beauty of the brotherhood of all that lives. These things are the law. They are the way they should be. They are the way they must be, or there is no answer. There is no way in which discord and dissension and evil can take over the earth. Evil and discord and contention go to sleep in the graves. They lie forever in the dust. And always the world goes on, striving, seeking, struggling to find the peace that surpasseth understanding. And the only way they can find that peace is through the development of the recognition of the divine beauty of things. The divine beauty of the flower, of the bird, the divine beauty of the little rabbit, the divine beauty that children find in a toy, the divine beauty that we find in the consolation that comes through friendship and affection. These things are part of life. Love is building a better world. Hate is tearing it down. All the various conflicts of existence are betraying the divine plan. Every army that goes forth, conquering and to conquer, is one of the riders of death in the vision of the revelation of John. All of them are those that ride forth to demolish the earth. But the blessed is the peacemaker. And in these things we have to realize that peace is beauty. Peace is a beautiful garden where everything is gentle. Peace is a beautiful view where the mountains and the sky mingle in fraternity. Peace is a lovely home where the members dwell together in amity and affection. Peace brings with it hope, and with realization, the courage to go on. And today, one of the things that we all need is to recognize the truth as it is, and then quietly apply it. If we hate evil, we simply create discord. If we try generously and thoughtfully to see good in all things and help and to encourage the development of values, being ready to forgive the enemy, but never to forgive a shortcoming of our own, which we know better than to have. So in little by little, the beauty of life can come. And maybe someday again we'll have a Garden of Eden where people and all things will work together in peace and harmony and understanding. And the Lord himself shall walk in that garden in the cool of the evening. This is what we've got to dream about. We can't dream about the politics and the struggles. We can only dream about an eternal beauty in which we exist and which will come back to us as we think about it and live for it. This beauty is not dead, but we are choking it to death with our conflicts and our discoveries of evil. We must find again the final beauty which we find in the child's eyes of the newborn. This beauty in the eyes of the mother when she gazes upon her baby for the first time. The beauty in the eyes of the elder who lying on the virtue on the edge of eternity looks with wide open eyes to a beautiful vision beyond the grave. All of the beauties of life must be strengthened. And if we strengthen those, that which is not beautiful will fade away. Because that which is right cannot fade, and that which is wrong cannot survive. And each person in his own abilities has the right and the privilege to contribute to the eternity of good and rise majestically in his own inner life above the transitives of unhappiness and misery, so that we can be, as we should have been, again, children in the garden of God, and not a group of angry and meddling people trying to destroy each other. Because this world is actually, as Christ says, let the children come, because the kingdom of heaven is such as these. And children have a great imagination. They see beauty in everything. The wise have a great examination, often imagination also, for they discover what has been seen by the children is true, and that all the other negative things are part of ignorance. And there comes beauty into education, but that's another subject. Actually, we are concerned now primarily with the realization that the simple act of beautification of daily conduct can be a very great help to solve the problems of the day. Because this beauty must be founded in integrity and in dedication and in a realization of the divine plan under which we all exist and by which we shall all be glorified in due time. Thank you.